You are listening to the Technical SEO Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Tech SEO Podcast, where we explore everything technical SEO and what comes with it. My name is Kira Davidson. I'm an SEO consultant at Salt. Today, I'm joined by Sidish Asawa, SEO Business Manager at Performix India. Welcome to the podcast, and how are you doing today?
Hi, Kira. Thank you so much for having me here. I'm doing great. How are you? How about you?
I'm good, thank you. It's getting close to the end of the week, so I'm looking forward to the weekend kickstarting.
Likewise.
So before we get started around talking about prioritizing efforts for page speed, I think it'd be a great place to start with getting an understanding of how you've managed to achieve what you have today and get to this point in your career.
Actually, this is a funny one. I actually graduated as an engineer, but I just didn't want to do what everyone else was doing, and I couldn't write a single line of code. And I had a slight inclination towards marketing side of things. So when I graduated in 2018, there was this entry level position open with Performix, and all they wanted to see, they didn't care about the grades, they didn't care about the pointers or the GPAs. All they cared about was if I had the right kind of attitude and aptitude for the job. And fortunately, I got in. And then it's been a crazy ride since. I think one of my first clients was a news client, and I literally used to sit in a newsroom surrounded by journalists, and I used to run behind them like a 21-year-old running behind 45-year-old veterans that please use the best kind of practices. And folks don't like to be talked upon by a teenager, right? So that was a complicated one. And then eventually moved to an e-com client, and currently working with CPG brands in India, Southeast Asia, and Australia to roll out their search strategies. So yeah, quite a ride since from the last 4 years.
And so I'm guessing that your role no longer requires you to run behind these journalists trying to get them to use best practices anymore.
Fortunately, yes.
What do you typically do then in like a day-to-day sort of now?
So specifically, like in terms of planning my day out, the first 30 minutes are reserved for me and my team just to like read about stuff, like what's going on. This is an ever-evolving world, right? The whole of digital. So we try to share articles with each other that folks should definitely read about. And then the whole day is planned. So since I work at an agency, right? The whole day is planned according to my client's schedule, and they just lay out the things that they want to achieve, right? And then we create plans accordingly. And it's a lot about project management now than it was 4 years ago. So I have to talk with the dev teams, the creative teams, the design teams, and get things in order and ensure all things employ the best practices and go live on time. And we are able to achieve the challenge or the KPIs that were set for us. So yeah, broadly on a day-to-day basis, it's more of a project management rather than executing SEO tasks regularly.
Oh, that's cool. So it sounds like you get a lot of different variation in your day depending on the client's needs and wants.
Yeah, and which coincidentally gave me the idea for this topic of how do you actually get your stuff implemented from dev teams, right? And what is the practical and feasible solution for it? So that was, that was a Eureka moment, and I'm like, okay, let's, this is a good opportunity to talk about it.
So then to get things kickstarted, obviously, I'm sure you're very aware that page experience has been a hot topic for Google, we should say. They started off with like HTTPS mobile friendly. And then last year we had the Core Web Vital for mobile. And this year we've had Core Web Vital update for desktop. So, and that sort of all encompasses page speed. So when you think about page speed improvements, are there some key fundamentals that people should be bearing in mind?
Okay, so I live by two principles. So the fundamental principles are, one, you have to deliver resources efficiently. And second, you have to reduce the size as much as possible. So combining them, smaller pages in an efficient manner. And if you look at all the tools, right, they'll give you recommendations broadly classified into this, smaller pages in efficient manner. So that's the broad principle that I follow while suggesting any kind of recommendation.
And so I recently spoke to someone around the standard serve images in next gen formats. And I learned that obviously as you compress images, you lose sort of the quality of the image and the information that's delivered in the image. And I'm guessing that the fundamentals that you live by are basically making sure that the detriment of the site isn't impacted. Obviously SEO is important, but so is providing a valuable site to users.
Yes, that's right. Right. So you have to always take care of the business side of things, that your business doesn't get affected. Like for an e-com site, a category page, right, which has great images about the product. You can't just compress it to such a standard that it loses its charm, right? So you have to strike a right balance between your business side of things and the technical side of things.
Perfect. And this, I think, falls quite nicely onto the next point. I don't know about you, but on Twitter, I see the occasional person posting around getting 100 out of 100 on page speed, which is such a rare occasion to occur. Obviously, we'd all love to achieve that, but the likelihood of basically reaching that milestone is very slim. Do you aim towards a certain score, or do you more focus on getting the recommendations implemented?
So broadly, what I aim for is to be just above average, right? I don't want to be the best in the business. I don't want to be the worst in the business. If I am able to hit that sweet spot, just reach above average. And this above average number varies from client to client. For an e-com brand, for a category page or a product page, it can be something between 20 to 50. But for a site that's built on PHP, that's a simpler form of website, you should ideally aim for anything above 70. So now this above average number that I'm aiming to hit, all my recommendations flow around it.
And from what I gathered, that depends on the different platform that the site is built on.
Definitely. I mean, if you look at some of the platforms, right, as we speak, more and more sites are moving towards React and JS-based platforms. And then implementing recommendations here, like if you want to take your score from, say, suppose 50 to 60, it's a monumental effort, right? A lot of dev resources will have to be built in, and then that's not worth the outcome, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to keep that in mind, that reiterating the same thing, just be above average. It's okay if you're just above average. It's not always a race to be the best.
And I'm guessing you then have the same opinion on, for example, hypothetically, you reach 100 out of 100. And yet, do you know, in like Lighthouse or PageSpeed test, it's still saying that remove unused JavaScript, remove unused CSS, all those recommendations, because of the impact that it will have to performance, to the outcome of what resources required, it just wouldn't be beneficial to make those changes.
Yeah, I mean, if you have to sacrifice your business functionalities, right, then it's not worth pursuing. I think often a while, all these tools highlight that you need to do something with your GA GTM codes, right, Google Analytics code. And that's not physically possible. I mean, that's something that's very critical to your site, right? And you can't get rid of it. So you have to accept that these are some of the villains that will hamper your score, and you have to live by it.
Yeah. And in terms of measuring your score, do you have like some go-to tools that you're like, I must use? And then are they tools that you use on like a manual level, or have you got tools that you can use more to automate the process?
So speaking about tools first, of course, everyone goes to Lighthouse the very first instance. I like to use multiple tools, a combination of 2-3 tools. One of them is GT Metrics. The other is web page tools. So whatever I do, one report comes from Lighthouse and the other sort of recommendation, just to cross verify if I'm saying the right thing, that comes from either of these tools. And then there are some nifty features in these tools that I like to use. GTmetric allows you to record your videos. Web page test will actually convert all your images into a WebP format and give it to you, right? So these are some nifty tools that I like to use along with Lighthouse.
And in terms of like, so you run the test, you get like a score, you get recommendations, and often the recommendations that you see in one tool to the next tool will differ slightly. Would you often combine all these recommendations together across all these tools?
Broadly, if you've avoided the pitfalls, all recommendations should be in the same line. Of course, we live by the Lighthouse score, so we'll report that. In terms of pitfalls, right, if I could just highlight, so especially working with tools such as GTmetric and web page test, I think it's critical to select the right server location. Mm-hmm. You have to select the proper network conditions, right? You can vary that on these tools. So I think anywhere between 3G slow and 3G fast is a good benchmark to rate your website against. And of course, I use the video mode extensively just to understand how my page is loading. And once the resources are highlighted, I make sure to go through them because, as I said, many a times these will highlight critical codes that you might not want to remove. And as an SEO, I mean, we made that mistake in beginning when we were just joining, that we sent out recommendations to our client saying, okay, you have to remove this Google Tag Manager code, which is definitely not going to happen, right? So we have to be really pragmatic about it and really read the resources that are highlighted. Is it worth, I mean, is there something that can be done with it or not be done with it, right? Mm-hmm. And I just missed your second question, right? How do you actually move about your report? If you want to ask that again?
So if you were to be conducting a page speed audit on a large enterprise site, so let's say an e-commerce site, to look at 40,000 URLs manually would take you forever. Do you have any processes to enable you to audit such a large number of URLs in a timely manner?
Okay, so personally, I like to use the template method where we identify the types of templates that are on the site and then create a recommendation as per one template. And it should be pretty scalable, right? If you fix one template, all kinds of pages, I mean, that are similar to that would have an improvement, right? So if we are speaking in terms of e-commerce, you get the home page, you get the category page, you get the product page, and you get the blog page. So if you're able to tailor your recommendations to these four pages, I think you should be pretty sorted. But in case you still want to look at your site as a whole, I think using Screaming Frog with a PageSpeed API is a pretty nifty option. What you can also do to club it to have better results is feed in your top SEM URLs as well, because PageSpeed is very important to your SEM performance as well. Right. So now you're getting the best of both worlds by fixing your Lighthouse scores.
Mm. Yeah, I definitely like using Screaming Frog's APIs to kind of get a big picture of a site's page speed performance and then using that to break down to more template level, like you were saying. And you also mentioned in your previous point around there being like, it's commonly seen like Google Tag Manager code is being like, hey, you should remove this. Are there any other common pitfalls that we should avoid when making page speed recommendations?
I think reading those resources would be the number one pitfall to avoid. So just like Google Tag Manager, you would often see Facebook pixel being highlighted as a problematic element. That's the number one pitfall. And second, like we spoke about, use multiple tools just to cross verify if this is the element that will give you the maximum impact, because you want to make more impact on your score with lesser efforts. Broadly on these lines.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I also think it's also important to make sure you use like incognito mode to ensure that like your Chrome extensions aren't having a like negative impact on the page view report?
Yeah, if you're using Lighthouse, then that's definitely one of the most important pitfalls to avoid. Use either a guest mode or use a incognito mode so that your scores are proper. And with other tools, of course, you have to specify the server locations, network speed, and stuff like that.
Yeah. And, you know, once you've completed like a page speed analysis, you have a list of all these recommendations. You might have be HTTP2, serve images in a next-gen format, defer off-screen images, remove unused JavaScript, CSS, those kind of standard recommendations that we see on like a day-to-day. How would you go around prioritizing these?
Interesting. So I think I have four or five fundamentals principles that I choose to send my recommendations with. So the first thing is I try to create an effort to reward ratio, like a mental model of, okay, if I fix the images, I'll get the higher score, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I've realized over time is, like images are the most easier to fix, right? You can use a lot of plugins that are there in the market. Say, suppose if you're on WordPress site, you can use Smush, you can use Jetpack. Anything that's related to compression or minification of resources is easier than splitting or removal of unused resources. So if you're given a choice between splitting a resource and compressing a resource, compressing would be easier than splitting a resource, right? Then the third bit here would be caching and lazy loading. So I'll just caching and lazy loading is an easier job to implement. And anything that's the third commandment. Fourth is anything that's on JS, CSS, or third-party related codes require a lot of development efforts. Right, this cannot be done in a short notice, right? Because they affect your site's appearance and functionality a lot. So a lot of thinking and hours have to be spent behind this. And the last one would be, in terms of priority, I would keep any server-related changes, right? Any server-related recommendations in the last order, because they are very cost-intensive and resource-intensive, right? So broadly, in these five principles, I try to schedule my Lighthouse improvements, because no dev team will take all recommendations and implement it in one go, right?
Yeah.
You have to help them prioritize according to their schedule. And then this effort to reward matrix that you create will definitely help you see results a lot quicker than just waiting for the dev team to implement everything in one go.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. Just out of interest, you know, when you are trying to prioritize these recommendations, do you sit down with like the developers to kind of get a bit of input on them so they can help weigh up the resources that are required to the potential reward that the site might receive?
Definitely. Coming from an agency side, we don't get access to the internals or the backend of the website. So it is very crucial to speak to devs, understand their sprint schedules, because they've got 100 things on their mind. And then you might find, oh, this is something that we mutually wanted to implement. So yeah, okay. So you have like a calendar. Okay, now this thing's gonna implement on, say, suppose second of the month. And then we understand their plans. And then we suggest some of the easier fixes if they have some time left. Like I said, images are easier to fix. If someone's very confident enough, they can go ahead and suggest plugins or methods as well for the devs, just to make their lives a little bit easier, that they don't have to hunt around for solutions. You've already provided everything that's required of them. And I think web.dev has a great resource to understand whatever needs to be done from an implementation perspective. I'd say it is quite crucial to speak to your devs regularly and understand the languages that devs speak, right? Most of the times we use business speak, and they aren't really accustomed to it. So you have to switch over from how you speak to the client versus how you speak to the devs, because devs, of course, don't play as much important point in the ROI of it. they could look at it from a product perspective. So you have to ensure that you change your terminologies, your way of speaking, or what your intended outcome for a business team and a dev team would be totally different, right? Mm-hmm. So those are some of the pointers that I keep in mind while speaking to my dev team.
Yeah, and once you've completed an audit, you've sent over your recommendations, and the developers, they've implemented some, or let's say nearly all of them, would you then go and carry out another analysis to then say, hey, to the client, we've managed to achieve this, and this has had the impact of this, or do you focus on to the next thing?
Once things are implemented, I'd definitely like to see the score on Lighthouse, but I'd still wait for 30 days for the Crux report to be updated.
Yeah.
So I do get user level data. So broadly, I look at page speed improvements as a sprint instead of as a marathon instead of a sprint, that you just can't fix it on one go. You have to keep doing it. And I usually like to look at the scores on a quarterly or a 6-month basis. And then again, schedule out things. Okay, what can we fix? Is there any quick fix? Is there any fix that we didn't do last time? Can we do that around this time around? That's how we go about with safety improvements, treating it like a marathon.
Yeah, that's a really good way to look at it. So I've just got one more question for you today. Where's the best place people can find you on social media?
If you're not offended by my stupid questions on SEO, then you can find me on Twitter. I am at @Siddesh_Asawa. Or you can also add me on LinkedIn. More than happy to chat about SEO and all things about it.
That's great. Thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with your next installment of Technical SEO. That's all for this episode, but we're always on the look for more experts to join us and give us a fresh perspective on technical SEO. If this was of interest to you, feel free to reach out to myself, Kira F. Davidson, on Twitter. Thank you.